Well, I know this will come as no surprise to those of you who are aberrant experts out there, but making superheroes is actually a whole lot of fun. Hey, welcome back to the Trinity Continuum Airwaves. My name is Corey Reynolds. I am your host. This is a podcast all about the Trinity Continuum. And we had a bit of a challenge on the last episode to make a couple of famous characters from the show The Boys into aberrant characters. And we will get to the results of that in just a second. Suffice it to say, it was a lot of fun and it is a very cool process. But first, I want to talk about the new Ether Fiction that we got today. There's some very, very cool stuff in there. Now, I suppose the cat's already out of the bag about the fact that there would be lycanthropes and sanguinivores, or more commonly known, werewolves and vampires in the game of Trinity Continuum Ether, because we saw those in the awesome cover art that was unveiled in the Monday meeting notes this week, which, by the way, has got to be my current favorite of all of the various core book illustrations. I believe they said that Rich Thomas does those himself. If so, kudos to you, sir, because this is probably my favorite part of the Trinity Continuum. It's what really sells the thing. When you show people the books, and especially like just everything about the physical product of the book is just super winsome. I mean, the size of them, the quality of the printing for the traditionally printed books. I can't really speak for the print on demand. I'm sure they're okay too, but the traditionally printed ones are beautiful, and the artwork just being so tying all of the various eras together with this cool stack of characters and actions or whatever is just super cool. But the one for Ether has Martians and tripods and vampires and werewolves and steampunk folks, and I mean it's just mind-blowingly good. And it had in there some vampires and what looked like a werewolf, and now when we see those things mentioned explicitly in Matthew Dawkins' new story post, we know that we are going to be in for an awesome ride with Ether. So very much looking forward to the fact that the Kickstarter is going live on Tuesday. And once again, I suppose we're going to be in a race to see who gets to back the thing first. I know I'm going to be there as soon as the clock starts ticking, trying to get my copy. But we also had some other interesting tidbits, I guess you'd say, in the latest fiction post that was put out. We see in that the ether is apparently referring to some sort of glowing green liquid, maybe that is used in various super science concoctions or, you know, drank or injected to give you the ability to modify yourself, to change your body and all that kind of stuff. So looking forward to how this goo is going to be used to interact with all of those different kind of things. But you know, there's another thing Trinity Continuum news related that I didn't mention on the last episode, but on the Monday meeting notes last week, I believe, they mentioned the fact that there was going to be a new Trinity Continuum core source book coming out called Brave New Worlds. And it covers strange and unusual environments for talents like time travel, planetary exploration, microverses, and more. And if that doesn't get you excited, then I don't know what will. That sounds absolutely amazing. It's filling out this setting and the possibilities of the setting with so many different interesting avenues for storytelling that honestly, we will eventually get to the place, I think, we're getting to the point where Trinity Continuum is almost becoming like a GURPS that will do literally any kind of role-playing game. So I'm really looking forward to seeing that Brave New Worlds book come out. It's a neat point in the development of the Trinity Continuum as a game to start seeing more of these core components come out. We got Assassins, and now we're getting this Brave New Worlds. What else will they come out with in the core? I think that's a great place to start branching out and adding a whole bunch of different stuff, especially with how near the core timeline is, which I suppose is our timeline, with the aberrant timeline, which is essentially, you know, tomorrow, right? Like it started in 2018 and the game really kind of begins in 2028, but it's, for all intents and purposes, the aberrant story begins whenever you want it to begin, which is essentially like tomorrow. And the core covers everything up until today. So definitely there's some overlap between the core and aberrant, but it is neat to see, you know, if you don't want to go the comic book superhero route, but you still want to tell all of these great high-tech adventures, you know, how can we flesh that out even more? And I think that books like Brave New Worlds are a wonderful step in that direction. Well, I know what you're thinking. What about the challenge that I posed last week? The challenge of creating Starlight and the Deep from The Boys as aberrant characters, using the standard aberrant character creation process of having only 150 experience points to invest in their various abilities and that kind of thing. So how did that go? Well, first of all, let me just talk about my own experience in doing this. I think this is so cool. You know, I actually decided to just go ahead and fully create the characters with their origin path, role path, society path, all of their skills, their attributes, and all of their edges and powers and that kind of thing. And so I just made the full thing. I won't bore you with all of those details, but I had a lot of fun putting those together, and I'm really liking the two characters that I built. I feel like they are very playable. I think that they'd be a lot of fun to play in any aberrant game, but also I feel like they really reflect the characters from The Boys very well. What I did with Starlight, and I'll just go with Mega Edges and all of that kind of thing, I brought her quantum up to 2 just to begin with, because I thought that that was a good place for her to start with. And to do that, I gave her the Aberrant Eyes transformation in order to reduce by half the cost of bringing that quantum up. And also, we know from the show that Starlight has those glowing eyes, and as she uses her powers, they glow brighter, and that seemed to really fit with the Aberrant Eyes transformation. So I went ahead and gave her that, just to echo that part of her from the show. And then I gave her 1 dot in Mega Might, 1 dot in Mega Composure, and 1 dot in Mega Presence. Starlight definitely has some power behind her punches and whatnot, so I wanted to make sure we scaled up her might when it came to that. But also, she is very much a social character, able to persuade people and all that kind of stuff. So bringing in the Mega Composure and Mega Presence just gives her a little extra ability to do that. I also gave her the Calming Composure Mega Edge to allow her to just have an effect, a calming effect on people. And then with the whole light power thing that she has going on, I really brought that to life with the elemental mastery power. And you are allowed to choose one form that that takes as you're choosing that power, and quantum attack was one of the ones that you're able to choose. So I went ahead and chose quantum attack for that, and gave that quantum attack the following tags. I gave it 2 dots in the ranged tag so that she could extend that out to medium range. I gave it the blinding tag because I feel like when she goes all kind of nuclear like that and makes everything glow really brightly, that it has a blinding effect on people. And then I gave it the non-lethal tag because it does seem like she stuns and dazzles folks with that power more so than just blasting a hole through their chest. So that gave her the ability to do the main thing that we see her do in the show. And I also gave her the mega edge of quantum conversion to allow her to use her power over light and electricity to kind of create environmental hazards. I feel like we see that several times in the show as well, where she blows out light fixtures and whatnot, and there's sparks shooting everywhere. And so I felt like using quantum conversion to take care of that would actually be rather picturesque and would fit the theme very well. So that's pretty much where she's at. She's strong. She's social. She's supernaturally social, and she has this ability to stun and whatnot and create environmental dangers with her power over light and electricity. So there you go. Feel like that represents Starlight pretty well. Now, some folks weighed in on the Onyx Path official Discord. One fellow there says that she needs a durability scale of 2 to 4 because in an early episode, she takes a full round from an anti-personnel rifle and doesn't go down. And so I was not considering that when I built her. I feel like you could probably fit some of that in there with the other powers that I've given her. Maybe knock something down a little bit. Maybe Calming Composure, take that out if you wanted to put in some more durability like that. But it's a good point, something I hadn't considered. I hadn't remembered that part of her kit. Also, someone had mentioned that her quantum attack would need some negative tags to reflect the fact that she needed to build up power first, and they had suggested that maybe taking absorption with siphon in order to suck some power in before blowing it out would be the right way to do it. I think you could probably represent that even easier with the ramp up negative tag and just say that during the ramp up, that's what she's doing. I don't know if she necessarily needs to absorb. And also, there are some times in the show where she just simply lights her eyes up and does her thing really fast without absorbing it. I know that sometimes it does look like she's absorbing it. So whether or not you want to put the ramp up on there, I mean, you could use some ramp up negative tag points to reduce the cost of buying some of the other tags, like let's say non-lethal on there. And then you would have experience points left over to put into some of that durability scale that we were talking about. So if you wanted to do that, you could probably get her even closer to the ideal of the way she is on the show. But what about The Deep? The Deep was a lot of fun for me because I actually, as I was building The Deep, I did not give him any quantum powers. I built him completely using mega attributes and mega edges, and I feel like that's probably the right way to build him. And what's fascinating about that is that you can make a very viable superhero using only mega attributes and mega edges. You don't need any of those quantum powers in order to be super cool. So what I did with The Deep, and again, I built his whole kit out, but I'll just tell you the mega edges and mega attributes I gave him. I gave him a quantum rating of 2, but then I gave him mega might of 1, a mega dexterity of 2, and a mega manipulation of 1. I feel like The Deep's kind of manipulative. We see him doing that a couple times. He ends up being kind of like a stupid puppy at other points in the show, but at least we see him being manipulative at some points. But the mega dexterity of 2, I gave him that because I feel like in the water, he's going to be very fast. I also gave him a mega speed of 2 to represent how fast he is in the water. To get his gills and webbed fingers, gave him 2 dots in body modification, 1 for the gills, 1 for the webbing. And I gave him an animal mastery of 2 points so that he would be able to speak with animals and be able to easily persuade them. I think we see him doing that all through the show. Finally, I gave him 1 dot in movement mode because, of course, he is very good with the swimming. And so making that very easy for him and being able to use his mega speed when it gets in the water, I think that's super important. So I feel like with those powers, and that pretty much did it. That was 150 experience points right there. But with those powers, we have faithfully reflected what The Deep is in the show. Others on the Onyx Path Discord, they didn't really say anything very different. There was sort of a minor discussion on there about whether his gills should be a body modification or a transformation. I see it as a big part of his kit and not anything that's sort of a downside, even though it certainly can look monstrous and keep him from being able to make bonds with regular human beings. I still feel like it's enough a part of his powers that it should be represented by the edge rather than by some sort of transformation. And so I stick by my decision to make it a body modification rather than a transcendence transformation. But we also had a fun email from a listener this week, Brenton, who says he is getting ready to start a new game and wanted some tips on how to build 4 different character concepts that he had come up with or that his characters had come up with for his game. And he wanted to know what was the best way to build those. And the first one is an inventor. One of the really fun things about the Aberrant book is at the end of the book, there is actually a section called Nova Quick Creation Archetypes. It's like the very last thing in the book. And it gives quite a few superhero archetypes there and shows you how to make characters in those archetypes, and it even has ways to customize the archetypes in various different directions. So for example, one of them is called the Genius, and yet the Genius has a quick pick called Inventor that lets the person be a genius and an inventor. So Brenton's first character concept was an inventor concept, which I'm guessing is very much like an Iron Man or something like that. So if you go to the Nova Quick Creation Archetypes on page 288 of the core book, you will see the Genius there, and just pick the quick pick Inventor, and I believe you'll get to that MacGyver feel or that Tony Stark feel pretty easily. His second character concept that he was looking at was a sort of a stealthy dude with the ability to do like a Nova Blast or something, so he could be kind of like a stealth assassin. So if you go to the Nova Quick Creation Archetype Sneak on page 293, you will see there that you have various different quick picks depending on whether you want the person to be more like phased out or shadow or camouflage or just straight up invisible. There are lots of different ways you can pick how you want that character to be sneaky. And then I would just trade out a couple of the powers. If you don't have enough leftover XP at the end of all that, trade a couple of them out for Quantum Attack and put in as many cool power tags as you want on that quantum attack to make it exactly what you're looking for. And that should dial in your stealthy assassin character pretty well. Then he wanted, as the third one, a healer. Now, there's not a quick creation archetype that really deals with healing, but I feel like you could get there pretty easily just with some mega intellect, some mega stamina, perhaps. Definitely the regeneration power to heal herself or himself. Then there's the healing quantum power, which of course is perfect for a healer archetype. And that is going to force you to have your quantum level at least 3. So budget for that when you're building the character. Just go ahead and spend the points to get up to quantum 3 before you do anything else. Then he said he wanted to have like a sub-focus in molecular reconfiguration or matter reconfiguration. And so I think a good way maybe to represent that would be the micro manipulation Mega Edge, which allows you to work on a very small scale, or perhaps the molecular manipulation quantum power. That's going to help quite a bit to be able to do some of those things that I think you want there in your subfocus. And then finally, his fourth character type is more of an anti-superpower focus, shutting down powers of other supes and doing anti-magic or tech fields or that kind of thing. The powers you really want to focus on here are Quantum Disruption, Quantum Leech, and maybe even Quantum Imprint with the Theft tag. But if you do that, you're going to have to, if you use that Quantum Imprint, you're going to need a Quantum score of 4. So that's going to be a significant investment just in the Quantum power right off the bat. So get that there if you want to be able to steal powers from other people and put them on yourself. But if you don't want the ability to steal the power, you can get by with a quantum of 3 because quantum disruption requires quantum 3. So you're going to have to at least have it at 3, at 4 if you want to be able to steal powers. And I think that with that kit, you should be able to do pretty much exactly what you're wanting to do there. And it would be a very fun and very cool character, especially one that could steal a power. I mean, it's one thing to disrupt powers and all that kind of stuff, but if you could just take that strong power that your enemy has and then use it against them, I feel like that gets it even the extra mile. So we have made a lot of superheroes in this episode, and what a fun thing that is to do. I am loving Aberrant. I'm almost to the very end of it, and then I'm about to start reading Ion. I can't wait to get into all the psionic stuff. So cool. And not to mention, we have got the Aether campaign coming up on Tuesday of next week. So a lot of cool Trinity Continuum stuff for us to just geek out about here. If you have a question, a comment, or maybe you just want to say, hey, you're Starlight and the Deep, those things were way off, I've got a better idea, remember, the phone lines are always open. The number is 678-369-3214. Call it day or night. It is just a internet answering machine. It records your voice. It sends it to me as an audio file. I stick it in the show, okay? So just call anytime, or you can send an email to trinitycontinuumairwaves@gmail.com. That's just the name of the show, @gmail.com, and we will talk about your comment. Thank you so much, Brenton, for sending us an email this week, and I look forward to hearing more from you, and let's keep this conversation going. So that's going to about wrap it up for this episode, and I can't wait to see you in the next one.